Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I had a professor in college, and I mentioned him before. He was actually came and spoke here at in our church hall. Dr. Peter Kraft. He was my professor of philosophy and also C.S. Lewis. I took a course from him in C.S. Lewis and in logic. He was is a wonderful man, and one of the things that we learned, or that I learned from him, was, because I hadn't really read these things before, was about the teachings of Socrates. Socrates was one of the ancient Greek philosophers. Actually, he never wrote anything. His disciple, Plato, wrote all the things that we know about Socrates. And Socrates ended up being arrested and executed because they said he was corrupting the youth. That was one of the charges against him, corrupting the youth. And the reason he was corrupting the youth, or what they said about that, was one of the things was because he didn't believe in all the many Greek gods. It seemed to him more logical, and this is before Jesus, this is before Christ, and he wasn't a Jew who believed in the one true God. He was living in this Greek world where they believed in many gods, but he said it's more logical that there is one God rather than all these many gods, and I worship the one God. And so they called him an atheist because they didn't believe in all the different gods. And a corruption of the youth, one of the reasons is because he annoyed people so much. He annoyed them because he kept asking questions. He kept trying to find out the truth behind things, and he didn't want to settle for surface answers. He knew that he didn't know anything, and he wanted to find out the truth. One of his friends went to what was called the Oracle at Delphi, which was at the time this priestess, prophetess, who supposedly knew all things. And his friend went to her and asked her who the wisest man on earth was. And she told this friend that no one is wiser than Socrates. So he goes back home and he tells Socrates, I spoke to the oracle at Delphi. She said, you're the smartest person around. And he said, what? She told me, there's no one wiser than you. You are the wisest one. He said, I don't know anything. Well, that's what she said. And he was really confused about it. He knew lots of people that were very smart. And so he set out to find out if this is true. He went to lawyers, and he went to doctors, and he went to politicians, and he started asking them questions. And he realized they knew about their craft, what they did. Doctors knew about medicine, and lawyers knew about law, and politicians knew about politics. But when he asked them about the deeper things, what is truth? What is the meaning of life? They would give answers to him, and he would question them, well, why do you think that? And they would give him an answer, well, why is this? And he would keep asking them these questions until he said, you know, what you're saying is illogical. It doesn't make sense. And they would be fed up with him. So he realized that though they knew their own craft, they really didn't know these deeper answers. But they said they knew. They said they knew the answers. Over time, Socrates realized it wasn't because of his wisdom that he was so smart that he was the wisest person or was called the wisest. Actually, she didn't say he was the wisest. She said no one is wiser than him. It was because he recognized that he didn't know. This is what Socrates said. I am wiser than this man, for neither of us appears to know anything great or good, but he thinks he knows something, even though he knows nothing. Whereas I know I know nothing, and I don't think I do. So this is what made Socrates wise. Not because he was filled with knowledge, but he knew nothing, or little, whereas other people also knew nothing, but they thought they knew something. Today, in our gospel reading, we have something similar. And I think also as Christians, there is something we can learn from not only the gospel reading, but even from Socrates, who my professor loved so much, he called him Saint Socrates. And that is, it's important that we need to recognize our weaknesses, recognize our lack of knowledge, and in the case of today, recognize our blindness. In the service last night in Great Vespers, we heard this hymn. The man who was born blind thought to himself, was I born without eyes because of my parents' sins? Was I born to be a proof because of the Gentiles' unbelief? I'm not competent to ask when it is night or when it is day. My feet cannot endure stumbling on the stones. You see, I've never seen the sun shining, nor ever seen the image of him who created me. But I pray you, O Christ God, to look upon me and have mercy upon me. So this blind man knew that he was blind. He struggled in life. He said, according to the hymn anyway, that it hurts him all the times to hit his feet on, to stub his toes on stones that are in the way because he can't see them. He doesn't know when the daylight or when it's nighttime. He knows he's blind. And because he knows he's blind, the Lord can heal him. Whereas the Pharisees think they know everything. They think they are very bright. They think they understand all things. So Jesus says that they are actually the blind ones because they say they see, but in fact, in terms of spiritual insight, they can't see at all. It is only when a person can recognize that they are blind that the Lord can give them sight. It's only when we recognize that we have no wisdom and no knowledge that the Lord can give us wisdom and understanding. It is only when we recognize that we are wounded and we are sick that we can open up our hearts for the Lord to heal us. Saint Isaac the Syrian says that a humble person, one who recognizes who they really are, one who knows that they are wounded and sick and blind. St. Isaac the Syrian says that the humble person is not rushed, hasty, or agitated. So there are benefits to knowing you are ill. Because when we know we are ill, we can place our lives at the feet of the heavenly physician. Saint Isaac the Syrian continues, he doesn't have hot or volatile thoughts, but he's always calm. He's not fearful of unexpected events. He knows his own weakness and recognizes his need for divine help. These are the benefits of recognizing our own weakness. You know, in our culture today, it's a sin to see your weaknesses, to recognize your weaknesses, to say that we're wounded, to say that we need help from God, to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, to say, I am a sinner. It is countercultural to recognize and look at our woundedness. We are supposed to present and assume greatness all the time. But if we don't see who we really are, we can't allow the Lord to bring healing to us. Actually, in confession, when we come to confession and we confess sins, the most important thing is not any counsel that you might hear from the priest. The most important aspect of confession is you recognizing your own sin, your own weakness. The priest isn't necessarily that wise. He might not have anything helpful to say even. But just to go to confession and recognize our sins, rather than continuing on a daily basis thinking that I don't really have any, is very important. We are recognized as wise and able to be healed to the extent that we recognize our ignorance and our weakness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is risen. Amen.